Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, your host today and every Saturday morning. Call in with your question or personal problem on this happy Easter week as we sing Rejoice, Alleluia. He is risen. He is with us. Especially if you're still stuck on Good Friday or getting ready for Divine Mercy Sunday. Give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal show is 877, that makes it toll free, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and our volunteer Keith is sitting there waiting for your calls, and Kai is there at the controls today, and I'm here near Chicago waiting for snow again. It snowed 2 weeks ago here. Last week for Easter, it was nice. It's going to snow again today for my nephew's first communion. But this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? So today's and tomorrow's gospel are about Jesus' appearances after the resurrection and people doubting it. But when Jesus convinced them, he said, go out into the world and proclaim the good news, you know, which is what tomorrow's feast is about, divine mercy of mercy and love. So how are we doing on that, proclaiming the good news? Are we sharing the good news of the love of Christ with others? Well, that's what we hope to do here on Catholic Radio, even in the midst of a show like this where we address personal problems and questions as you're struggling to live out your faith. You give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So the risen Christ means that we do not weep alone. So call in if you just want a shoulder to cry on. We do not wander alone because of the risen Christ. So if you're wandering and struggling and wondering and indecisive and you need a second opinion on something, you give us a call too, 877-573-7825. The risen Christ means we do not struggle alone or hurt alone in this dark and challenging world. And that's what we try to do here for you at Catholic Radio. We get so much wonderful feedback from you that you feel you're not alone when you turn on the radio. You feel like you've got a friend here, and all the different Catholic Radio hosts on Catholic Radio, on EWTN, on Ave Maria Radio that produces this show. So know that you are never alone. Whatever our path, we discover that Jesus himself walks beside us. We learned that in this week's readings. So what God did with the defeat of death that first Easter, he can do with our hurts. We just need to look at our personal problems in light of God's love, in light of faith, in light of hope. Maybe you've given up hope, in light of love, a kind and practical answer to life's problems. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. So indeed, Christ risen and alive means hope for the darkest moments of our lives. This hope means that life's journey, no matter what it may take you, is full of possibility. So with this Easter experience, we look forward to every year after the gloomy fall, maybe sometimes gloomy spring, and cold winter, we look about everything being made new. We've got new hope, new opportunities, new life. Give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal is 877-573-7825. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. My background is in family life education. I also have a master's degree in health education, teaching certificates in health science, physical education, and theology. Spent a lot of my career, well, most as a teacher and then as a theology teacher, and then people said, could you write this down? How did you get your students so enthused about Catholicism and chastity? and thus was born my public school book, Sex Respect, my Catholic school books, Love and Life, A Christian Sexual Morality for Teens, and then when my bishop several years ago asked me to develop a program that empowers parents to teach the facts of life and the meaning of life and the theology of the body and the morality all mixed together, to help the parish help the parent rather than the school doing it for them. And that's when I began developing Love Ed, which is available now through St. Benedict Press in Spanish and in English. 28 video clips, 6 workbooks. Go check it out at loveed.com or check out my other books or my speaking possibilities at sexrespect.com. But I wanted to start today's show with a funny story that's about the miracle of God's mercy that we are experiencing this week with Easter and Divine Mercy coming up. And many of you have been praying the Novena of Divine Mercy. Even if you don't pray the Divine Mercy every day of the year, many of you at least pray it this week. So this story has a number of interesting, fun lessons in it. It's called The Pie in the Oven. A woman was getting a homemade cherry pie ready to put in the oven when the phone rang, and it was the school nurse. Her son had come down with a really high fever at school, and the nurse was asking, could you come take him home? So the mom, in her mind, those of you that are moms out there or dads who are homemakers, she calculated how long it would take to drive to school and back and how long the pie should bake and concluded there was enough time. So she popped the pie in the oven, she left for school, and when she arrived, her son's fever was worse, and the nurse said, take him to the urgent care clinic in the strip mall right away. So she drove to the clinic as fast as she dared, and she was afraid a little bit more as the doctor emerged from the examining room and handed her a slip of paper. Get him to bed, he told her, and handing her the prescription, get him started on this right away. So she took her son home, got him in bed, headed out again for the drugstore in the strip mall. And she was not only afraid but frazzled and frantic, and she had forgotten that the pie was in the oven. So she went to the strip mall, found the pharmacy, got the prescription filled. She rushed back to the car, which was locked. And there were her keys dangling in the ignition switch, locked inside the car. So she began searching the stores in the strip mall for a wire coat hanger, which turned out not to be easy. There were wooden hangers, plastic hangers, and the shops didn't use wire hangers anymore. So after combing a dozen stores, she finally found a wire hanger. She hurried out of the strip mall, and she stared at the wire coat hanger and thought, I don't even know what to do with this. Then she remembered her pie is in the oven, her sick son is at home, and all the frustrations of her past hour, and she started crying. And then she prayed, Dear Lord, my boy is sick, and he needs this medicine, and my pie is in the oven, and the keys are locked in the car. Lord, I don't know what to do with this coat hanger. Dear Lord, send somebody who knows what to do with it. I really need that person now, Lord. Amen. So she was wiping her eyes when a beat-up older car pulled up to the curb and stopped in front of her. A young man, 20-ish looking, with a stained T-shirt and ragged jeans, got out. He was coming her way, and when he drew near, she stepped in front of him and held out the wire coat hanger. And she said, Young man, do you know how to get into a locked car with one of these? And he gaped at her for a moment, and then he plucked the hanger from her hand. Where's the car? She had never seen anything like it. It was simply amazing how easily he got into her car. A quick look at the door and window, a couple of twists of the coat hanger, and the door was open. And when she saw that, she threw her arms around him. Oh, she said, the Lord sent you. You're such a good boy. And the young man stepped back and he said, No, ma'am, I'm not a good boy. I just got out of prison yesterday. And so she jumped toward him and hugged him again fiercely. And she said, Bless the Lord. He sent me a professional. Okay, some of you tuned in and just got to the middle of the story, but it's about surprises of God's mercy and love. So lessons from this story, thinking well of others, right? She thanked God for his skill set. Another lesson from this story is you can be God's instrument even if you just got out of prison yesterday. Third lesson, God answers prayers. He can do anything as long as there are people around listening that are here to be his instruments. He needs us to respond to his requests, to use us for his good, no matter how unusual it seems. So this young man who just got out of prison, he's probably like, hey, I guess I'll turn in this parking lot. He didn't even know why, or maybe he had a different reason, or God gave him a reason, or maybe he ran out of gas, who even knows, but somehow God instrumented his coming to this woman's rescue, and she got home in time to give her son his medicine and get the pie out of the oven. What a prayer. God, send someone now. You know, sometimes he answers that right away. Sometimes he's answered my prayers before I've even prayed them. He knows what I need. Stay close to him. If God is your best friend, your life will be amazing. It might be scary. It's never going to be smooth, but it will be amazing. So think of the lessons we learn from that humorous story about God's mercy. He sent a professional. Bless the Lord. So we look at these readings. The gospel relates to us, in this morning actually, the appearance of Mary Magdalene. She went and told his companions who were mourning and weeping. So think about the times that you've been grieving and mourning and weeping about something, and they didn't even believe. And maybe you don't believe sometimes. Oh, where's God in my grief? Or where's God in my sadness? Where's God in this unemployment? Where's God in this sickness? Where's God in my son that wouldn't go to Easter Mass? Or where's God in my family, my brother who wouldn't talk to me over the holiday? So rather than dwell on the apostles, their past failures, just as we shouldn't do that, or resent some of the things that took place, the apostles were then inspired by the future that Jesus gave them when he commanded, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to everyone. So we see Jesus change his story. Remember when he did miracles before this time, he would say, don't tell anybody. And now he's like, go out and tell the whole world. So if you are full of God, you experienced a good Lent and a good Easter, it's impossible not to speak about what you've seen and heard. And so hopefully when the apostles were recognized as companions of Jesus, that you are too. Will the same be said of you? Oh, they must be a companion of Jesus. And tomorrow's gospel is just as exciting. For those of you that wonder, why should I go to confession? Why should I confess my sins to a priest? You can give me a call about that, too, if you'd like, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So Jesus came in tomorrow's gospel. The doors were locked. He says, peace be with you. He breathed on them and said to the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. And, of course, Thomas doubted. But if you have a friend or relatives who has been away from the church or away from confession for a while, tomorrow's the best gospel to bring them to. Because after they hear this, there are probably confessions in a local parish for Divine Mercy Sunday and many celebrations of that. So Lord, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And you give us a call with your question or personal problem. That's what this show is about. I just get to talk these first 10 or 15 minutes, and the rest is up to you. What do you want to chat about today? Do you have a question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith? Need a second opinion on a decision you're trying to make? Can't maybe trust your relatives, or you want to remain somewhat anonymous? Just tell us your first name and the radio station you're listening to or the city that you're from and the topic of your problem to our call screener. Dial now, 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Talk to Keith. Give him that simple information and then wait on the line until we call your name. Listen on the phone because there's an 8-second delay between the phone and the radio. And if you listen just to the radio, you'll hear me call you 8 seconds later. So listen on the phone after you call, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just...
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Join us for our anniversary sale going on now through May 4th. Our family has been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn since 1945. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line or see all of our anniversary sale specials at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz, Weingartz, everything.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
Do you know the best way to get kids to obey? Remain calm. In the words of St. John Bosco, quote, show your children that uncontrolled emotion plays no part in your actions. They will respect you for that, and their respect will prompt their obedience, end quote. It turns out research agrees. In fact, studies show that the louder you yell, the less kids listen to what you say, and the more they just treat you like you're crazy. That might cause kids to keep their heads down around you, but it won't help them learn from you. Remaining calm helps you become the parent your kids want to learn from instead of just avoid. Need help developing calm discipline strategies? Check out Parenting with Grace, the Catholic parent guide to raising almost perfect kids. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Good morning. Alleluia. He is risen. You're listening to Catholic Radio. The show is called Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. When you're struggling with a personal problem or trying to live out your faith, the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Call now. If you left down the line last week, like Jean and Steve and Courtney and Mary and Vicki, call us back and just tell our call screener, Keith, you were left on the line last week. We'll put you up at the top of the line when you call. But we did get a caller last week, Vicki from Ottawa, Ontario, asking for prayer. So I can just announce that one. She said that Father Brian Hennessy from St. Martin de Porres Parish in Ottawa died from a heart attack during Holy Thursday Mass last week. So she said it was very, very sad and asked people to pray for the repose of his soul. Wow, when I think of that and the dreams of a priest, I have a priest friend who dreams of being called to heaven during Mass. So Father Brian got my other priest friend's dream. Not that you wish to have a heart attack during Holy Thursday Mass, but to be in the middle of Mass and be called to heaven for whatever reason. Might have just been an anomaly of sickness. But let's pray for the repose of his soul and the sadness for all of those that grieve for him. You give us a call with your question or personal problem, too. Sometimes even prayer requests we get here when you got a problem like, oh, I don't even know how to solve it, but would you guys pray? 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Also got a bunch of emails this week following up from last week's show. One says, this was an interesting experience that many of you that have had kids in school have probably experienced already. She said, peace to you and blessed Holy Week. That was last week. She said, I received the note below from my daughter's physics teacher today, and she decided to opt out of the lessons 5 to 7 days starting April 29th, which is coming up Monday. And she said, I received the book. She had ordered some Sex Respect and Love and Life books from my Sex Respect website. And she said that she thinks the content of this supposed physics class is too much information. Her daughter thought it was too much information. And she said that we've talked about it too much. I'm uncomfortable listening to the topics, and it's not the right time. So the lessons that came from the 8th grade Human Growth and Development Human Unit outline are things I wouldn't even say them all on TV. But the essential question is, to what extent can making healthy choices develop safe, healthy relationships and sexually responsible decisions? Well, you and I know what most of the public schools think are sexually responsible decisions. So some of the topics here, investigate the behaviors that will ensure my safety in a dating relationship. Well, it could be good in terms of avoiding abuse, but what they consider safety is something else. So lots of different, you know, how to avoid, you know, STDs and AIDS and birth control and methods of assistance that are local. So I responded to her. I said, what a wise mother you are to substitute the Love and Life and Sex Respect programs for this class described. And just tell your daughter that the information in Love and Life and Sex Respect are going to be a lot different. And a lot of times the reasons the kids don't want to talk about it anymore because they're hearing this garbage out there in their schools and on the playground and on the bus and from their friends and on the internet about love and sexuality that should be disturbing. But when we teach the truths of God, those are different, and your daughter will be more relaxed. So, you know, ask her to maybe read the chapters herself in Love and Life about some of the truth and beauty, and then go through the exercises and parent child discussions together if you get the parent guide. So always when our child is disturbed about something taking place in school in a unit like human sexuality, like, treat them always prayerfully and gently, you know, respect their innocence, commend their purity and their innocence, so that they can truly see that there is beauty even though there is ugliness out there. So she wrote back and said, thank you, you gave me peace. But as I said, this experience is unfortunately normal, and some of those programs, even from the lower grades, do more harm than good. So it is wise to keep your children out of those classes, and we have some wonderful alternatives to that. Just check out my website, sexrespect.com, for high school kids or eighth graders, Love and Life or Sex Respect. Or for younger kids, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, go to loveed.com at St. Benedict Press and get the Love Ed books as well. And you give us a call with your question or personal problem, whether you're struggling with a teen, struggling in your marriage, struggling with extended family, job decisions, school decisions. Oh, my goodness, should I change schools next year for my kids? Homeschool, public school, private school, Catholic school? Should I drive 30 minutes to school? Or how do we simplify our life so that we truly can live the peace that Jesus wants for us? You give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Another email we got this week, or actually it was a message. I think it was PMs, private message on Facebook, because a lot of you go to my Facebook fan page for follow-ups on the show. So you can reach me there at facebook.com, Colleen Kelly Mast. And last week I posted, where do the traditions of Easter Bunny and eggs come from churchpop.com, and an article from the National Catholic Register a few years ago, 12 Things You Need to Know About Holy Saturday. Then I started getting emails about the articles, like, oh, you only got to the top four things we need to know about Holy Saturday. And it was a brand new listener. She said, can you post it so I can see all 12, so she could have her first full Holy Saturday as a Catholic. So anyway, so people message me, if you know how to private message through Facebook. And so I got this through that way. And she said, I'm responding to the grandmother who called about vaccination. So this was it last week's show or the week before? And she said, I was an older mother, she said, with my last child, and was also worried about the results of vaccinations. And you can do different vaccination schedules, which I thought was interesting, because people are concerned they have so many vaccinations, and that's what the caller was concerned about. Lots of vaccinations, too much, too soon, little kids, as well as the concerns about the nature of the vaccine, as if it was stewed in organs of aborted babies, which we clarified for her, the bishop's teachings on that. And so she said, you can do a different vaccination schedule where you can do one or two at the most vaccinations at a time. So if there's a problem, you know what they're having a reaction to, she said. So it does cost more, but she said, I believe it's smarter, safer way to go. And she said, I can warn the caller that clinics and nurses are not always very understanding about this, but just keep looking for a pediatrician that will do as you wish for a good reason. So she said, I don't know if this will help, and it doesn't address how they're made, but does address the reaction. So please keep my name and email anonymous, but thanks for all you do. Okay, so I won't tell her name, but she did respond to that. So for those of you that weren't listening that particular day, I did respond to the concern about the vaccinations, how they were made, and it doesn't address the reactions, which are a concern of all parents, and you should have your doctor sign off on that if he thinks they're safe. But as far as the pro-life movement goes, a lot of people are concerned that they are stewed in aborted fetuses. That isn't happening as much anymore. But the bishop's bottom line said, if you believe that the good of your child is very important for you to get these vaccinations, then we don't have to be as concerned about how they're done. That's a concern of the scientists. All right, you give us a call, 877-573-7825.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning. Happy Easter week. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective by calling this toll-free number. There are lines open waiting to hear from you, and Keith, our call screener, is waiting to hear from you as well. The number to get on today's show is toll-free, 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Taking your questions or personal problems, struggling with relationships or decisions, parenting. You know, parenting isn't that easy. If it was going to be easy, it wouldn't have started with something called labor, right, ladies? And those of you husbands now in the modern day that are also in the delivery room know that it's not the most pleasant time of life until you see that beautiful baby laying there, sweet, innocent, looks like you, and then smiles and says your name in a couple of months. Mama, Dada. So the smartest advice on raising children is to enjoy them while they're still on your side, while they still like you. But life's golden age is when the kids are too old to need babysitters and too young to borrow the car. Those beautiful few years of ages where they're still cooperating and the hormones haven't started moving. But adolescence is the age when children try to bring up their parents. So if you're struggling with an adolescent problem, you give me a call, too. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Because adolescence is that age when children stop asking questions because they know all the answers. And then, how long does that last? They say adolescents last into their 20s right now. So if they know everything at about 15 or 16, and then they, sometimes 8 or 10 years, sometimes 10, sometimes longer for some kids, that they know everything, and then something changes. They mature, or a situation in their life occurs where they have to mature, or maybe they get married and realize they can't think of themselves all the time, or maybe they get married and have a child and realize that someone needs them, and they have to be the giver instead of the taker, and then you appreciate your own mom. I remember appreciating my mom, especially on the day my first child was born. I remember thinking, this hurts so much. How could there be this many people in the world? Like, why would people do this again? But then to learn it was unusual that he ripped his way out of the womb. So, not the last time our kids heard us, so you give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Masked Appeal is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. So often we hear bad news about the church, and so, but I heard some good news this week. Actually, a couple good news is going on. One is, for those of you in New York, the New York Archdiocese did something really good, a good social service. So just this past month, you wonder what they're going to do with all the, where there are churches that are torn down, and I know in Chicago they're dealing with the sadness of many churches closing. It happens in many areas. So in New York City, the site of a former church in New York City has been transformed into affordable housing units. Isn't that a great idea? With all the homeless people out there? And the Archdiocese of New York plans to develop 2,000 affordable units from its building stock, over the next decade. 2,000 affordable units. Because one of the problems, one of my friends, a good Catholic friend with 11 children, says is not that the that there's not enough housing, there's not enough inexpensive housing. It's the standards are so high. When she's elderly, when she first got married, she said you could live in a lesser quality house or a rooming house with just, you know, a light bulb and a refrigerator and shared bathroom. And now the standards are so high, especially to get government aid, you need a bedroom for every child. So to have affordable housing is wonderful. So there's one called St. Augustine Terrace, located in the Bronx, was formally opened this past month. It was blessed by Cardinal Dolan. A new low-income housing development is administered by Catholic Homes New York, part of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York. So I like that, thinking out of the box. So the opening ceremony, Cardinal Dolan, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities Archdiocese of New York, announced that St. Augustine Terrace will be the first of many new developments opened as part of a new affordable housing initiative. So those of you that call in sometimes and you are struggling to find housing, I hate to say to move to New York, the weather isn't that good there, but the Catholic Charities of Archdiocese of New York is taking good steps. So this first housing unit, St. Augustine Terrace, contains 112 units of affordable housing, including 77 units for families. And the other 35 studio units have been designated for people with chronic mental illness, another group of people that need housing. So the residents, get this too, will receive on-site services from Catholic Charities Beacon of Hope House, which provides programming for people with mental illnesses. So thank you, Archdiocese of New York City, Catholic Charities, thinking out of the box, doing something good. So even though the Archdiocese of New York owns the land of the building and the services, but the services are administered by Catholic Charities, and residents don't have to be of any particular faith. And the family units are reserved for people earning 60% or less of the area's median income. So as a city and state-funded project, the family units are marketed through New York City Housing Connect website. He's the director of communications who announced that. So there's a pressing need for additional affordable housing units in New York City. Maybe 700 people currently applying for each available affordable unit of the 77 units for families, and they're ready to develop 2,000 units. So the reason they responded to this was that last year, well, 2017, 2 years ago, about 60,000 New Yorkers were living in homeless shelters, even as the state's unemployment rate dropped. So this war on poverty that the Catholic Church is working on, this new creation of affordable housing in many different parts of New York City, I think is a wonderful thing. So finally some good news about the church and additional units being available, four in the Bronx, one in Manhattan, and this one that was formerly home to St. Augustine Parish is, guess what, that's why they call it St. Augustine Parish. So commend the Archdiocese of New York for doing something good. And you give us a call with whatever might be disturbing your peace here today. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And actually, our first caller here is Paige from Atlanta. Paige, the number is going to ring, for the music is going to start in a minute, but we can get you on and maybe start your question before that. When the music plays, we'll stop and pause and answer it after. So Paige from Atlanta, listening on the Quest, a fairly new radio station down there at Atlanta. Welcome to the show, Paige. How can I help you today?
Thank you so much, Colleen, for taking my question. I really appreciate it, and just want to tell you how much I just have enjoyed listening to you. And when I heard you talking about, you know, raising adolescents, of course, I'm right in the throes of that.
Okay, great. Well, you got your compliment out, and I certainly appreciate that, Paige, and the music is starting already. So I can tell this question is going to be about an adolescent. I've raised five of them. None of them were easy. One was a little easier than some of the others. But we'll be right back with a question about adolescents from Paige from Atlanta, and your question, too. Call 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Papal biographer George Weigel recently spoke at Madonna University Orchard Lake Center.
The second large-scale question that caused a lot of turmoil for almost two centuries was, of course, an economic question. How should the production and distribution of wealth be managed? And here, too, the answer is in. If you want to create wealth, spread it widely, give room to entrepreneurial initiatives and other forms of human genius in the sphere of economics to operate, you choose a market-centered economy over a state-centered economy.
This is Henry Root, your host and program producer for Putting on the Mind of Christ. The Catholic vision of the free and virtuous society was George Weigel's topic at a talk sponsored by the Catholic Integrated Core Curriculum at Madonna University. We'll hear it on our next program. Join us for Putting on the Mind of Christ this and every Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring the following Saturday afternoon at 6 on 990 WDEO and 1440 WMAX.
Was there a divine plan uniting John Paul II and Ronald Reagan to defeat communism? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join Paul Kengor and Rob Orlando to hear the story on Power from the Pews. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
We're live here on Easter Saturday, even though some people are taking the week off. We are here to help you because our problems don't take off over Easter. Yes, we rejoice. Alleluia. But the family problems are still there. Give me a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We were starting to chat here with Paige from Atlanta, listening on the Quest Radio, and then the music started playing. So, Paige, are you back here on the phone?
I am. Thank you.
Great. So, thank you for your compliment. And what is your question today? How can I help you?
I would just love your advice on just your guidance on how best to guide my children. I've got an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old. My 14-year-old in particular, he does go to public school. There's a reason why he goes to public school. But I just really am struggling with, you know, just keeping him on track and just trying to just keep him in a good path and a space. And just would love your advice just on how, you know, Catholic parents are just addressing these particular issues with, you know, these young men and just all the worldly influences and just really how to keep them on track in the faith.
No kidding. It's not just influences like it was when my kids were younger. It's almost like brainwashing now. They come out of public schools with those strange ideas that are not even truth, that you sit there and say, how could someone believe this? You know, like it's so anti-scientific. It's anti-God. It, you know, and it's strange. So my suggestion to a mom of a 14-year-old boy going to a public school would be, first of all, to homeschool Catholic religion for him at least once a week. I sent one of my children to a public school, again, for a good reason, and we homeschooled high school religion. There are a lot of good Catholic homeschool programs that you can, instead of purchasing the whole semester or the whole course, you can just purchase one course at a time. We did the one through Seton Home Study because we could just buy the religion course. And then they even give you grades and correct the tests and things like that. And I found that to be a very good course. But I know since then many, many other wonderful Catholic courses have been developed. Another child that was, believe it or not, Paige, was going to a Catholic school, but I knew the religion wasn't up to par. So he took his religion at the Catholic school, and we homeschooled religion, too. And so I got in the Didache series. It's a newer of the religion series publishers, Didache series. I did the intro to Catholicism. It's a huge, heavy, like a college-style textbook, but beautiful art, good pictures, good, clear theology. The Didache series, I used the Intro to Catholicism book for 1 year and the Catholic Morality book another year. There are two other ones, you know, Church History and Scripture. The Scripture book was written by Scott Hahn. But they're highly recommended and were commissioned originally by Cardinal George in Chicago, and he said, hey, there's no decent Catholic school book out here. So I would homeschool religion and with as much cooperation as you can, at least once a week and maybe twice, maybe, you know, Wednesday and Sunday, like the Protestants go to church twice a week. But here is what is important. It's not just that he reads it or fills in the exercises, but that you talk about it. You want to develop a relationship with him that is helping him grow while he is trying to find his place in society. These next 4 years, he's trying to figure out who I am that is not my mom. Do I even have my own faith, or am I just going because my parents make me go? So you have to help empower him to develop his own personal relationship with Jesus, as well as his own logical understanding of the faith, because that's what guys usually want at this age. So in doing that, it address those questions that come up, those doubts, but then help him learn where to find the answers. So, for example, in doing that, you might go together to the lifeteen.com website. And this is a wonderful website that trains youth leaders. They have blogs that different teenagers write, and it'll give the contemporary view of real faithfulness for a young man like your son that might be questioning, figuring out, is this faith mine or is it my mom's, and what am I going to rebel against? So maybe he'll rebel in a different area, like keeping his room messy instead of not believing in his faith, you know, so, or keeping his feet smelly or, you know, something. Let's let the rebellion go in another area. Another thing you might want to do besides taking him to the Life Teen and homeschooling him religion a couple times a week is to have him listen to the Catholic Answers radio show at night here on EWTN. And in that show, he will hear men who are apologists that may have had lots of questions growing up, and now they have found ways to go to the answers. So then you put the responsibility on a group of already Catholic faithful men, so he sees a role model of the faith that's intelligent and has answers that is not necessarily his parents. So then you've sent him two places outside yourself. So you've got the homeschooling that you're doing with him and the textbook that's outside yourself, the lifeteen.com website that he can go to anytime if you allow him to, and listening to Catholic Answers radio show on or listen online if you don't get Catholic Answers on your EWTN feed there. And then you see what I mean? He has somebody else to go to that's encouraging him in his faith and helping feed it. But then, of course, if he has a question where you see he might be straying, again, look into those spiritual things that parents can do, like, you know, check to make sure he's going to confession often enough, that he's in a state of grace. Help him learn how to pray. Teach him how to pray. Do his own meditation or gospel reflection in the morning and a short examination of conscience at night, because most of the great saints say that the first step to falling away from the church is stopping praying or praying less or praying without fervor. And so his prayer life and his Catholic education and plugging in into some of those resources should be able to help you with a 14-year-old boy going to a public school. You think those would work for you, Paige?
Those are great suggestions. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, Paige. I appreciate it. It's wonderful to hear from our listeners down listening on the Quest in Atlanta. It's great to have Catholic radio down there as well. I know for a long time there was so much wonderful Christian radio and a lot of good Christian things and songs and talk, but now to have Catholic radio down there too is excellent. So it's great to hear from you in Atlanta. You give us a call too, no matter where you are in this country or the next. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We're here for the next hour and 15 minutes for you on Mass Appeal. And we'll be back to chat with Krista, Marianne, and you in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. My friend Tom Nash has been serving the church for more than 25 years. He's a great researcher, a great teacher, a great presenter, and he can speak on a variety of topics, from the church to chastity, the mass to marriage, evangelization to dealing with the devil. Let me recommend that you go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com and click on Tom's profile. That's Tom Nash at CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com, and consider Tom for your talk.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Why would a high-ranking priest in the Episcopal Church decide with his family to come into full communion with the Catholic Church, especially at a time when one-third of surveyed Catholics are considering leaving the Church over the abuse scandal? Well, that's exactly what Andrew Petrofin has done, and he joins us with his story of what led him to embrace Christ's call to come into full communion.
Cresta in the Afternoon, from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Approved Marian apparitions like at Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe, Knock, Rue de Bac, La Salette, Our Lady of Good Help, all of them have proven track records in bringing the faithful closer to Christ and more zealous to serve His people. While they're not binding on the faithful, we can be confident of the Church's approval, just as we can be confident in her condemnation or her skepticism. And who does the approving or the condemning? The local bishop. He holds the authority in every case. There are far more apparitions condemned than are approved. The devil is all too eager to mimic certain aspects of authentic apparitions. The Church gives us the seven sacraments, the 73 books of the Bible, the witness and wisdom of countless saints. Why chase after any unapproved apparition? This is Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877 573 877-577-5-PEP-TALK. Well, Krista from Denver hung up, so call back when you can. Sorry you had to go. Now there's a line open waiting to hear from you at 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Marianne from New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Marianne. How can I help you today?
Thank you very much. I love your show. I try to listen to it every Saturday morning.
Thank you, Marianne.
You're really so inspiring. You really are. I'm calling about my daughter. She was diagnosed with kidney failure, and this was back in around December. We had a very tough new Christmas and New Year. We almost lost her.
How old is she, Marianne?
She's 54.
Oh, okay.
Right. She'll be 54.
Oh,
and through the grace of our Lord, He has helped her regain everything else. She had water in her lungs and everything. She was on a machine and everything. But she now has to go to dialysis. And she goes three times a week. And she's improving very slightly. And the doctor said that maybe we should consider like a transplant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she suffers from depression also.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she really doesn't want to go anymore. And she mm-hmm. says, you know, and I sort of try to encourage her every time. And she's missed already like twice. And she just, I don't know if she's giving up, which I says to her, you know, where's your faith? You've grown up with faith mm-hmm. all your life. And, you know, it's just, Ma, you don't understand. It's so hard and everything. But anyway, I'm praying to God that she overcomes this, and that, you know, she accepts what is going on with her. And it hurts me so much to make me think that she's giving up.
Mm.
And she says to me, you know, Ma, I know I'm going to die. I says, well, we all are. I says, but, you know, she says, but I feel it in my heart that I'm not going to get better. And I just, I called so you can maybe pray for her and give her the strength to know that our Lord is always with her.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know what
Marianne, my heart goes out to you. And the kidney failure is a serious thing. You do die of it. You can die of it. And here we are in Easter week thinking about hope, and the hope that she has is going to dialysis and waiting on the list for a transplant, or maybe finding her own donor for a transplant. She's 54. It's young. I know older people that at the end of their life, they just say, oh, I just, you know, I don't want the whole rest of my life to be spent at dialysis. And I know that priests have even told them that if that's the only thing that you're doing and you're 85 years old and you lived your life to the fullest, that you don't have to go through it. Dialysis is an extraordinary treatment that's not required. But I think what you're trying to do is give your daughter some hope. And the difficult thing to do when someone is depressed, which comes with some of these chronic diseases, it comes with this depression that makes them want to give up. So this is one of the reasons why the church does not allow assisted suicide, you know, because if somebody's depressed, they want to give up. So right now, you and Jesus are her hope, Marianne. You know, and you might give her some hope by looking into all the different opportunities that there are to change her system. Right now, we've got so many, you know, different new methods and supplements and healing modes, and there are all sorts of things that are being discovered that can complement what she's doing if you can give her some hope. So maybe look into some of those opportunities. You know, just got a note here on the board that says, you know, maybe like just be a raw vegetarian that changes the chemistry of your body, and that would help some of the, you know, the processing of the foods that she eats. And, you know, there are there are a lot of little things she can do, and if she would investigate that, first you would give her some hope because you'd have hope. If you said, come on, we're going to do some research and find out everything that we can do to turn this around, you know that God can show you something that someone has discovered or invented, or a test run or a trial that can give her some hope and remind her, too, that every day, you know, yeah, we're all going to die, but every day that she lives has meaning. That her closeness to Christ, her offering up her suffering for the lowest souls in purgatory, especially here as we approach Divine Mercy Sunday, or maybe some relative that might be waiting for her prayers. If you can give her the hope of Jesus and give her something to hang on to in waiting for that transplant, or just accepting her situation in a holy way, or something that helps her overcome the depression, you know, in a certain way, that your job, I think, Marianne, is to give her some hope. And it's hard for you because you're her mom. You're sad for her. You love her, and it's easy to give up in this situation. But the doctors have hope. There's lots of alternative treatments that have hope. There's nutritional things that can give her hope. And then the spiritual hope, which is most important that you want to give her, is to know that only God knows the timing of when he wants to call her home. And it's wrong for her not to take advantage of all the good things that could help her. For example, the fifth commandment, you know, thou shalt not kill. You know, if you're only 54 years old and there are things you can do for your life, through your life, to prolong your life, you know, whether it's medicine or treatments, that we're required to do that according to that commandment. So I see the key here is that she feels depressed and wants to give up, huh, Marianne? And so,
yeah, sometimes I think she does, but she knows she has a granddaughter who this Sunday is going to receive her first Holy Communion.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's so thrilled about that, and so am I as her great-grandmother.
Yeah.
But she does have, she gets in a state like this every so often.
Mm-hmm.
She does have days where she feels better, but then she'll say, she gets like a little depressed,
mm-hmm.
and she'll say things like this. And I know she knows our Lord loves her, and there's
good.
Things that she does do,
mm-hmm.
you know, for her diet and everything, but this mm-hmm. is all new.
Yeah.
And I guess it's such a frightening feeling because she never ever went through anything like this before.
Yeah, it is. Well, help her stay close to God. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal right after this message. Thanks for the call, Marianne. God bless.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem here for the next hour is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Those relationships that are disturbing your life, those decisions you're trying to make, how do we live out our faith in today's crazy culture? The number is 877-573-7825. Chat with our call screener, Keith. And stay tuned here on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio for our second hour of Mast Appeal. We've got, we just got off the phone actually with Marianne, and already Brother Daniel called in. So hang on, Sophia. We'll take you next. We're going to Brother Daniel first because he has some information responding to Marianne's call that we just got off with. Marianne, who's so concerned about her daughter wanting to give up on her treatment for kidney failure. So Brother Daniel, thanks for calling in and helping us out here. You're on the air now. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Mast, God bless you. And happy Easter to everyone. Okay, three things. Kidney disease and kidney infection have their own type of depression. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, thou hast probed me to the reins, R-E-I-N-S.
Oh.
And there was a Protestant minister, this is how I learned about this, because I had cancer surgery myself, and he said, I kept getting depressed. I couldn't eat. I wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sent him to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said, I'm sending you to a kidney doctor. He said, I left so angry. I wasn't going to go, But I did, and the doctor took one look at my face and said, Reverend, I can fix you. I'm going to do a blood test. Came back in, and he said, you have such a severe kidney infection. And he said, I know how to fix this. And he said, in 2 weeks, it was like I had risen from the dead.
Oh, my.
And I asked the doctor how he knew. He said, the look on your face. See, I remember when the dialysis machines were first brought in. My brother worked on them. And they had the highest suicide rate because people would get so depressed they'd pull the tube out and bleed to death.
Oh, my.
And the one that was second was hepatitis with liver disease.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But for Marianne and her daughter, be knowing that this is part of it. And there are some things that the doctors can do to help her with this. False hope is not one of them, but she should be anointed if she hasn't been already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just let her know that she's not alone, but understand that there is a particular type of depression that goes with this that is the deepest depression known to medicine.
Yeah,
now,
I can see
number
that.
Two, for Paige, St. Philip Neri says that no man, young man or young woman can maintain their chastity until age 21 without a devotion to the Most Holy Eucharist and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, so maybe take your children to Mass one time extra week, adoration, do not forget the rosary. And if there's a good man that can do something more than use his fist, but if there's a good devout man somewhere in their lives, that'll do wonders for him. And now, here's last but not least.
Okay.
You had about 3 weeks back several people who were asking what they could do for the dying. Number 39 in the Treasury of Indulgences, there is a plenary indulgence for the moment of death. So anyone who can get a mission priest, like a Jesuit, Dominican, and, you know, Franciscan, someone like that. Some of the parish priests, the pastors have this, but get the blessing for the pardon crucifix and carry it on your rosary or separately. And if you're dealing with someone that's slipping, put it into their hands and pray an act of contrition. Either with
them
or in their name. I was prepared when I was a young, coming out of my novitiate, to be a on-call assistant to the chaplain. I never had to do it, but we, you know, were prepared in case we needed to do that. And I didn't have a chance to call in at the time, but hopefully those little bits will help. I would question the vegetarian diet, Colleen, because it might tear the system up. It's something to look into, but I think there's some other ways that they can treat this. And as you and your wonderful crew know, as the old saying goes, you got adopted by a dog. I've prayed for your people and you for years.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Brother Daniel. We appreciate all those insights, and that helped all of our callers today. Hopefully that gives Marianne some hope and Paige some new ideas as well. So thanks so much for listening and for calling in. God bless you. Bye-bye. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is from Florida, Sophia. Welcome to the show, Sophia. How can I help you today?
Hi. I have a son who is going to be going off to college in the fall, and his roommate will be from Mumbai, India, and there is a chance that he is a Muslim. We're not sure yet. And I was just wondering, from a Catholic perspective, what are the things that, if he is, that I should be concerned with or talk to my son about? I don't,
I'm not a racist or anything like that, I am concerned about the closeness of being a roommate with somebody from a religion that's so different.
Right. It could be Hindu or Muslim.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I know. So.
Yeah. So what I'm going to suggest is that instead of being concerned or what to be worried about, I want you to empower your son. Empower him with knowledge and truth, first by doing an investigation or challenging him to studies or studying with him or bringing him resources. There's a lot of Catholic resources for information on the Muslim faith. And there's actually a book from Ignatius Press that I just gave away, or otherwise I'd be sending it to you, called From Islam to Christ. And it's about a girl who tried to convince a Christian missionary that there's no God, but she was converted to Christianity instead. And so the Ignatius Press, who publishes that book, has also had a lot of information on Islam. They also have another book called On Islam. And so by getting some of these products and looking up some of the talk about them online, it can help you empower him so that he knows what's going on. And maybe he's not out to convert his roommate, but when he reads a story of someone who's converted from Muslim to Christianity, that he'll see, you know, where there are some differences, where there's hope, where there's fallacies, and it won't be you just telling him to be concerned. You see what I mean, Sophia? It's like, oh no, my mom's worried about that. Let him hear that from someone who took that journey already and then found the truth. And so a couple of those books from Ignatius Press might help him. Some of the things online that are related to that book would help him. But then encourage him also to know his own faith very well. Did he go to a Catholic high school, or does he have? Did you homeschool him at all? How well does he know his faith, Sophia?
Well, he went to an Episcopal school from kindergarten to eighth grade, and then a secular private school in high school, but he did go through confirmation, and we try to go to Mass every Sunday, but I have to say he's not, I wouldn't say he's a super strong, he doesn't have a super strong faith, and that's why I guess I'm a little more
concerned.
And I'm going to use this time before he leaves.
Yes.
I don't want to turn him off. I don't want him to, get angry at me for being concerned. But I think you're right. Empowering him with knowledge is probably the best.
And then empower his faith as well, Sophia, when you said that you were concerned about him and his... when he goes off to college, everybody should be concerned because, again, it's not a safe world. The people at the universities are not acting as parents as they might have been decades ago. You're on your own. Good luck. It's a relativistic world. Nobody's going to stop you from doing anything. So what I'm going to encourage you also to do in these last months before he leaves for school... So you've got the rest of the spring and the whole of summer is to teach him how to pray well on his own and pray with them the first couple weeks until he's comfortable. Maybe get him a subscription online to the Magnificat that sends a daily meditation and the morning the readings of each day. Teach him how to unpack those scriptures, which is a beautiful week here at Easter week to talk about unpacking the scriptures when Jesus did that for the apostles when he met him on the road to Emmaus, and teach him how to just take a 10-minute meditation in the morning, open up that gospel, and speak to God in his heart to ask God, what are you trying to teach me and show me today in the gospel, and how can I be a better man today because of the gospel? And then, a private prayer, and then at the end of the day, an examination of conscience. So if he doesn't even have time for his midday prayer, at least if he did a serious 10-minute morning meditation, get up earlier, and a 5-minute examination after contrition at night, what you want to do, Sophia, is connect him to God, because he's going to be away from you. You will have no control, no power anymore. You can't ground him. You have no idea what he's doing. But if he knows he's not alone and God is with him, and the strength that you give him is going to be your faith. Now, is your husband involved with the faith as well?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so even a more powerful or just as powerful thing besides teaching him to pray is have your husband pray the rosary with your son every night from now until the time he leaves, because rosary is a certainly not threatening, not scary, not too intimate of a prayer. It's a meditation on the mysteries of the faith, and it's usually easier if people aren't already comfortable praying together. And so if they pray the rosary every night, before the examination of conscience and act of contrition, from now until the time he left, and then your husband would ask your son, please pray the rosary every night with me. And they'll be praying in different places. And then you put him under the guardianship of the Blessed Mother, who is the perfect mother that can take your place there while he's at college. And then you've got a combination of wonderful things. You've empowered him with this knowledge to prepare him to face the idiosyncrasies or the unusualness of the difference in faith between him and his roommate, and maybe him and anybody else. Empower him with the knowledge of the Catholic faith, teach him how to pray, and then have your husband pray that rosary with him each day. And that should be a good recipe for sending him off to school, so you don't have to go by with a fearful list of prayer intentions, like, oh my goodness, what do I have to worry about? Trust in God. Consecrate him to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then you don't have to worry. Then our anxiety is gone. Trust him to our Lord and trust his prayer. If he keeps praying, entrust that prayer relationship, you know, between him and God to give him the strength that he needs. But that knowledge is going to help as well. So all those things, I think, together will help him, Sophia. Thanks for your concern for him.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate all your advice. It was wonderful.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Sophia. God bless you. All right, you're right. Senior year, and we have kids going off to college. Any other concerns? Of course there are concerns and questions. How do we, or do we send them away? You know, I heard one person say, be better to send them off for high school and bring them home for college, the way colleges are run today and high school boarding schools have a little bit more structure. But interestingly, we do have a lot of concerns sending our kids away to college because the world is not, what did they used to call it, in loco parentis, that they would take the place of the parents. There were hours, there were dorm mothers, and now there's somebody who just graduated a year before. They run the dorm, and the dorm runs them, pretty much. It's not, even in Catholic colleges, it's not what it was a long time ago. So there should be concerns, but the real key is to empower our children, empower these young adults with prayer, with the rosary, which is a prayer, with the commitment to go to Mass every Sunday. I remember one of the last things I said to my son, my child number four, when we took him off to college, and he was going to be there with one of his friends that he went to Catholic school with, grade school, went to public high school with, and we were sitting there, and his friend said something to his mom about, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to Mass every Sunday. And the mom's like, he said something like, well, yeah, I know, like he was going to accept that. And I just looked at my son, and after lunch he came to me and goes, Mom, I know what you were going to say. I know you didn't say it. I promise I'll go to Mass every Sunday. I'll bring my friends with me. And he did. That freshman year tried to bring friends with him. So stay with him. Stay with him and encourage him. Okay, you give us a call, too. We've got 45 minutes left here on the Mast Appeal Show. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. Give us a call. Keith's waiting for your calls at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's Mast Appeal. And we'll be back with your calls on this Easter Saturday right after this message.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood.
Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices?
The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not,
and their investment portfolios reflect that.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values.
Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds.
You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. go to MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
The ever-expanding secularization of the culture we live in has taken the holiness out of our Sundays. Many Christians can't even remember the Third Commandment, let alone observe it. On our next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo discusses what we as Christians can do to reclaim Sundays, keep them holy, and enjoy the freedom our Lord provides us. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mass to Peel. Happy Easter. Alleluia. He is risen. Tomorrow is Divine Mercy Sunday, a fairly new feast in the church, although Divine Mercy has been here from the beginning. Otherwise, God would not have sent His Son to save us. St. Thomas Aquinas said, mercy is heartfelt sympathy for another's distress, impelling us to help him if we can. Mercy is heartfelt sympathy for another's distress, impelling us to help him if we can. So St. Thomas Aquinas continues, for mercy takes its name, misericordia, from denoting a person's compassionate heart for another's unhappiness. So taking us to tomorrow, divine mercy then is God's refusal to leave us in our fallen condition. So Jesus enters the locked doors of our hearts, banishing fear and sin and saying, peace be with you. And he showed us his hands and his side, and he shows us his wounds, so we won't be afraid to show him our wounds. So then Jesus in tomorrow's gospel gives the disciples the Holy Spirit so they can be agents of his mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation. As he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Thousands of years later, we continue to receive Christ's mercy in confession. So as we prepare to celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, we pray, have mercy on us and on the whole world. You give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mass to Peel is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Mary from New Jersey, welcome to the show. How can I help you today?
Yes, I wanted to find out if you knew if tarot cards and black crystals are approved use in psychotherapy treatment.
Not for Catholics, not at all, not at all.
No, I know not for Catholics. Yes, thank you for confirming it. I didn't think so either, but is it approved by the APA or the NASW?
I don't know. I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I don't know if those are approved by them. But what I do know is that the Catholics consider that against the First Commandment. So even if you were using it as a Catholic for psychotherapy, it would still be wrong. So it wouldn't come under the condition,
oh, yes,
like some
that.
Medical things, right?
Yes. Speaking of, in terms of, I know that, but again, thank you for confirming it so well, because we don't want to be confused on that at all.
Right, right.
The thing I was concerned about is use in a private practice where these things are in the office, and it's, I'm not sure how it's used.
Yeah, I would wonder if that was really a psychological, I would wonder that same question, if that's really a psychological thing. That sounds like a New Age fortune teller thing. So
right,
I would check into that.
Licensed clinical social worker's office.
Yeah, I would question that. I don't know the answer to it, but I would call a local social worker or a local psychiatrist or your local association and see if that is true. Is that someone you know who is practicing that in the name of psychotherapy, Mary?
Well, it seems so. I don't want to assume, but it's in
her office. So the local place would be like NAMI or NASW or...
Right, right, any of those. And, yeah, I would question it myself. Go ahead and find out the answer to that. And if you're Catholic, stay away from it because that's an opening a door to a spirituality that is dangerous and connected to a power that is not God. And so that's why we as Catholics would see that against the First Commandment as a false God. So, but if you're concerned about the legitimacy of it, I would check with one of the local associations and find out if that person maybe shouldn't be advertising a practice of that while they're really certified in something else, because that is entering into unusual territory, I'd say. So it's worth questioning. Call your local associations and find out about that if you have a concern. Okay, and stay away from it if you're Catholic. Okay, Mary?
Oh, no, yes. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thanks for the call. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Steve from South Carolina calling about that talk last week about getting remarried and feeling like not coming to church. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air now. What's your? Do you have a comment or a question?
Hi, thank you. It's sort of a comment. I've been involved in the Catholic liturgy all my life, basically. I'm a musician. And I was brought up in the old catechism, and it's my understanding that when one goes to church, one gets graces.
Right.
You get graces for doing the will of God and the commandments, following the commandments, graces for being in a group, worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
And communion is a separate view, but there's, I believe, confusion since Vatican II. Communion is a sacrament. It's therefore... it's the high point of the Mass for many people because mm-hmm. it's the sacrament that each person individually receives, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Vatican II and the way it was implemented, liturgists quite often made it more of a point of the mystical body of Christ, the body of Christ that was in the church getting up and processing as a group, participating in communion, and it was part of your active participation. Whether you were worthy or not. And I think a lot of people have gotten into this concept of, I've heard it also put that you get out of it only so much as you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're impeded from fully doing all of the activities, then you're not getting as much out of it. And it's sort of, it's a feeling, but it has nothing to do with the actual graces that one is receiving by coming to church as a group and worshiping God. Or without Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage people to come to church and open their hearts and their minds to God, even if they can't open their mouth to the host.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for calling about that, Steve. I did get an email from someone, too, that said to remind that caller last week that you do receive many, many graces from attending Mass, even if you cannot receive communion. So thank you so much for clarifying that so well for us. Thanks a lot for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. You give us a call. Number is 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal right after this message.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The word apologetics has a bad reputation, doesn't it? It sounds either like you're apologizing for being Catholic or you're defending the indefensible, like an apologist for big oil or an apologist for big pharma. The Greek root of the word means summary or explanation. And the classic line is 1 Peter 3:15, always have a ready reason for those who ask you of the hope that's in you. Here's what it's not. Apologetics is not being a debate champion, arguing, needing to be right, or the cause of conversion. It's none of those things. In my one-night parish mission called Ignite, I teach about the difference between apologetics, which is like defense, and evangelization, which is like offense. It's all about making disciples, not arguments, to defeating the other guy in the debate. This is Patrick Coffin at patrickcoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning. Hallelujah. He is risen. Happy Easter week. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, our second hour here, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Give us a call. Our call screener volunteer today, Keith, is waiting to hear from you at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we can chat with you in a few moments after we chat with Bill here from Georgia, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Welcome to the show, Bill. How can I help you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Getting ready for my nephew's first communion coming up. I'm going to be a little bit late after the show, and I'm disturbed that it's going to be snowy, but how are you, Bill?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And congratulations to your nephew.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My concern is this. I told Keith earlier, I am a convert.
Oh, welcome to the church. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was back when our children were going to school, and I wanted to send them to a Catholic school, and I wanted to understand what the Catholics taught. So that's
good for
how
you.
We became Catholic. So,
oh, my goodness.
Anyway,
how wonderful. God's good.
We have I'm going to try and be as nice as I can about it.
Yeah, we try to be charitable on this show. Be as nice as we can.
Yes, I will, because this is a tough subject.
Okay.
We have some issues in the United States with abortions that has really concerned me, and I believe it has really awakened my Catholic beliefs.
Oh, good.
I am concerned that our Pope is not taking the situation in the United States as serious as the conditions that exist here. It's fine for him to speak up on lots of other issues, but let's speak up on the things that are important to our church, to our belief, to what we as Catholics believe. We have, I think it's 70 million in the United States Catholics. Now, they're not all adults, but why in the world does he not participate and stand up for the things we believe in, even if it's against the beliefs of our politicians?
So you're saying you wish there was more like support, like verbal support or written support from the Pope for the things that we're struggling with in the United States?
Yes, ma'am. And what intrigues me very much is I follow Franklin Graham on my Twitter account. He's a wonderful man. He does lots of good things.
Yeah.
He is more vocal about the beliefs of our Catholic Church than we are.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I can respond to that. And then, first of all, the Catholic Church in the United States is a small percentage of the Catholics of the whole world. So it's not that the Pope isn't concerned about it, but he is concerned about the whole world. Another thing is, you know, what is the power of the Pope? He's supposed to lead us in faith and morals. And then our own Episcopal councils, our own bishops are to make sure that we do what is right and take the leadership here in our particular country. And then we as lay people who are the church are the ones that are the activists out there doing things. So if we are looking for the Pope to tell us what to do or to defend the faith for us, I think the truths of the faith are already there. But I know that a lot of people share your concern, Bill, that why doesn't he speak out? What you said, I almost laughed when you said there's a really serious issue going on and he speaks out about something else. And we're sitting here going, come on, don't you see what's going on here? Why you change the subject? But then you got to see, realize he's got has a global perspective. He sees what's going on in the whole world, and we have to give him the charitable benefit of the doubt that there are bigger concerns that he's addressing in other places. But in one real concern I would share with you is that the United States is a world power. Countries look to us. When our entertainment began to degrade after the Playboy philosophy and the birth control pill in the last 40 years of the sexual revolution, the other countries in the world saw us as leaders in that, too. They saw us exporting our garbage to them. So I agree with you totally in the fact that when he sees the United States as leaders, why isn't he speaking out to work with his leaders or encouraging them or writing things or saying things about them that speak out more clearly against what the government is doing? Then we look at this personality of Pope Francis. He wants to be a peacemaker. Look at the name Francis and think of the prayer for peace. And think of what he's trying to do is make peace among the different countries. He wants world peace. He's trying to make peace among the different religions that are fighting. And so I just see the way his personality comes across is that even though there are a lot of fierce things going on, he wants to do such things that are making peace, peacemaking, bringing people together, bringing God's mercy to people. So he speaks out on those things because that's what he so feels called to do, and that is the temperament and personality and the training that he has, and God knew that when Pope Francis became Pope. So God will still work through his personality, temperament, knowledge, experience. So sometimes we want more than that. We want him to stand up and say, hey, you people in the United States, get moving on this. Or say, how could you let that be? And he's depending on our bishops and us to do that. So the important thing is to keep praying for our Pope, the Holy Father, who leads the whole world spiritually and is trying to make peace and love and God's mercy known to all of us so that he can be the best leader, the leader that we need for our times. And not to be disappointed necessarily in him, but I look for the good that he has written. When you see some of the things that the press say that he says versus some of the actual things that he's written, sometimes they are not exactly the same. We know that he has spoken out clearly against gay marriage. We know he's spoken about clearly against homosexual practices. We know he's spoken clearly against abortion. We know he's spoken clearly against birth control. We know that he is very pro-marriage. You know, we can look through his teachings and find quotes of his that are strong about the basic truths of our faith. But then a lot of what he says that is off the cuff, or a question, a rhetorical question he might ask that's then put out by the press, makes us wonder, like, hey, did he really say that? Does he really believe it? Does he really mean it? But he hasn't changed anything in terms of the doctrines of the faith, and the way the media presents him does raise questions. So your concerns are similar to so many people that are out there, but let's keep praying for our Pope. Pray for our bishops. Actually, this week, Bishop Olmsted of Phoenix spoke at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast and gave us all a real challenge as Catholics. And so I know that the music is getting ready to play here in a few seconds, but maybe after this message, Bill, you can hang up, but keep listening. And I'm going to tell you what Bishop Olmsted has said, because he speaks out as one of our local bishops here to inspire and spur us Catholics on to know what to do, how to act, and how to respond to the not just confusion, some of the evils of our culture. So thanks for the call. God bless you. We'll be back with more of Mass to Peel at 877-5-PEP-TALK after this message.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
I didn't realize how stressed I was until my daughter pointed it out. In fact, she took on my stress. Every time she saw me expressing anxiety or worry, she manifested it into her own worry. That was a concern. She actually threw out my own words back at me. Mom, you need to have faith in God. Everything will work out. There's one thing to be stressed about meeting client deadlines. It's a whole other thing when you're stressed out about finances in the future. Scripture teaches us numerous places that there is no value in worrying. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Happy Easter Saturday and welcome to Mass to Peel, a Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Somebody just called in and says, "What is my website?" Okay, sorry about that. I try to say it a few times during the show, but sometimes I just get involved in all the calls and I forget. My website is www.sexrespect.com. Sexrespect.com. There you can find out about my Love and Life program, my Sex Respect program, my speaking opportunities, and you can email me there where it says Contact Us. I can get the email within a day from there. It also has a phone number of our office. You can call that 800 number. So sexrespect.com is my website. And you, if you forget that or if you have the word sex blocked out, you can always contact me through the radio station, too. This show is produced by Ave Maria Radio, and I have an email address there, mastappeal, M-A-S-T, appeal, A-P-P-E-L, at avemariaradio.net. So mastappeal at avemariaradio.net. Or go to my website, Sex Respect, and put click Contact Us, and I'll get your email soon, maybe even on the way to the First Communion today. So it's kind of funny, me already having grandchildren younger than my nieces and nephews, but then when we were second oldest of a large Catholic family, I was second from the top, and my sister Mary, who was the baby, she was born when I was in college, and she didn't have her first child until she was 38. So you add all that up, and then you've got me going to First Communion of my nephew, who is 8 years old, when I already have grandkids that have been confirmed last month. So that's the beauty of a large Catholic family, that you span generations, several generations. I know with my mom having 9 kids, and I had kids just soon after I was married, that my youngest sister and my oldest son were best friends. another beauty. And my youngest brother's clothes were passed down to my boys, so another beauty of Catholic families. But anyway, this is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, and we were just chatting with Bill, and I did want to mention, I'm glad we have time for it today, something great that happened this week in the church, because Bill was just asking, like, why doesn't the Pope speak out, and, you know, with all these evils going on in our country? Well, we got a good encouragement and send-off this week by Bishop Thomas Olmsted at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. just this past week. Bishop Thomas Olmsted of Phoenix, he called on this gathering of the nation's Catholic leaders to stand up to the heresies of the modern age and defend the dignity of the human person, body and soul, as an integral part of defending the faith. Now, here's a bishop who has his own Theology of the Body department in Katrina Zeno right there out in Phoenix. But he spoke out at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast April 23rd, and he was the keynote speaker. He said the importance of the human body was at the center of the contemporary moral crisis and crucial to presenting the church's teaching in modern society. Interesting that I just attended a Theology of the Body talk for one of my grandkids' grade school the other day as well. So Bishop Olmsted, and you can probably find this talk. It was released by Catholic News Agency, CatholicNewsAgency.com, called Now is the Time to Defend the Truth, Phoenix Bishop Says at the Prayer Breakfast. So I'm going to continue because these are words of inspiration for us in direct response to Bill, the last caller. What are we supposed to do if we don't feel supported by the Pope? We are supported by the U.S. bishops, particularly this one at the Catholic Prayer Breakfast this week. So Olmsted said he believes the disaster predicted by Pope St. Paul VI in the encyclical Humanae Vitae had come to fruition. Quoting an exhortation to the married couples in his own diocese, he said that the sexual revolution of the last century had caused humanity a plague of misery on a scale never known before. And I know some of you out there listening, your marriages and your children and your families have suffered from that plague of misery from the sexual revolution. So Bishop Olmsted said, enough! He said, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, you are called to have great hearts here, countercultural and brave. He said, you can build something better, freer, more generous, and nobler, he said, insisting that rebuilding society begins in the home. And I'm thinking of all you that call in and you've got your young adult children living with each other. How do we inspire them to live the truth? Well, I'll go on with Bishop Olmsted's words. He said, husbands and wives have to be all in for their sacramental marriage vows. This means that couples need to be open to new life, whether by way of the Marriage Act or through adoption and fostering. He said, do not be afraid to sink your roots deeply into the living water that is Jesus Christ. He will not abandon you, said Olmsted. Lead your family and lead in whatever other place the Lord asks with deep and childlike faith in Him. Are you inspired yet? Okay, can you imagine him saying this to the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C.? So the family, Bishop Olmsted said, was the sign that would defeat the heresies of the current age, all of which concern the human body, whether in reference to the true nature of marriage, life, and gender, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the dignity of the body is questioned, Bishop Olmsted said, the truth preached by the church is cast aside to the detriment of marriage and unborn children. Now, Bill from Georgia, isn't this a great response to your question? Bishop Olmsted continued, sacramental marriage stands now in the way of the gender ideology. He said, insisting that Catholics must proclaim the truth and oppose attempts to weaken marriage and the family, attempts which do nothing to strengthen our great country. Look at the vociferous opposition to the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, said Olmsted, referring to congressional attempts to legislate to require that doctors provide age-appropriate care for infants who survive late-term abortions. You know, this just came up last month. Where does this blatant disregard come from, he asked, from a hardened heart. So Bishop Olmsted said, it is the great duty of Catholics to stand up for each child, offering courageous witness for life. This, he said, requires each person to expand our hearts to receive that child and to stand in the breach left by hardened hearts. We Christians, then, must stand up for this reality of marriage today in our homes, in the public square, despite the real risk of persecution for doing so, he said. We can do this. We were made for such a time as this. Now, how is that for our bishops, not just supporting us, but calling us? Got a comment on that? You give us a call now. We've got a few minutes to hear from you. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back with your call right after this message.
Do you know that simple maintenance on your furnace can extend the life of it? Hi, I'm Ron Garmo from Running Right Heating and Cooling. Replacing a dirty filter can eliminate more than 50% of all house calls and save you money. With a simple service agreement, we can come out twice a year and clean and check your furnace and AC, which could prevent bigger problems. Call today at 248-884-1704 or go to Running Right Heating and Cooling on Facebook. We are working to keep your systems running right.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Why would a high-ranking priest in the Episcopal Church decide with his family to come into full communion with the Catholic Church? Especially at a time when one-third of surveyed Catholics are considering leaving the Church over the abuse scandal. Well, that's exactly what Andrew Petrepin has done, and he joins us with his story of what led him to embrace Christ's call to come into full communion.
Cresta in the Afternoon, from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
What qualifies as a valid marriage in the eyes of the Catholic Church? The Catechism tells us there are certain requirements that must be present or the marriage is not a true sacrament. The requirements are as follows. The marriage must be between a baptized man and a baptized woman who are free to contract marriage and who freely express their consent. The Catechism defines freedom to contract as not being under constraint and not impeded by any natural or ecclesiastical law. The exchange of consent between the spouses is considered by the Church to be the most indispensable element of a valid marriage. According to the Catechism, the consent must be an act of the will of each party, free of coercion or grave external fear. If this freedom is lacking, the marriage is not valid. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Here, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. You can reach me through my website at sexrespect.com or check out our Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mast, with follow-ups from the show, or email me at mastappeal@avemariaradio.net. But before we go to our caller here, Mila, while she's getting on, I did want to now just tell about another response to what Bishop Olmsted said. How do we do this? And a lot of you parents out there, actually I've gotten two or three calls this week at the office from some of you that checked out the Sex Respect website and want to know how my Love Ed program can help their child or grandchild in school or their children in the Catholic schools or public schools. And so Love Ed is really being moved throughout parishes and schools and groups by, you know, parents and educators that want to teach the meaning of love and life to the next generation of Catholics. So I've got 28 video clips, 6 workbooks that help you do that. So it's a new curriculum. And what it does is empower parents to develop a bond with their child around these lifelong conversations about the ways that real love fits into the context of their whole life rather than what we're learning on TV. So each of the Love Ed The Love Ed has five seminars, one just for parents of young kids ages 3 to 14, and then four different programs for children with their parents. So it empowers the parent and child to have a private conversation between the video clips. It has a book to take home with six chapters that they do together. Several dioceses have already adopted it. I've been doing facilitator trainings for different dioceses. One diocese, which I was so complimented by, said it's the only program he's seen out there that presumes innocence of the children. And so the so check that out at St. Benedict Press at loveed.com. Loveed.com. LOVED.com. So that is one of the responses, one of the answers that we have to teaching the young people today. And what the interesting part of it is that when we put these five Love Ed seminars on at our parish or school or community organization, we teach the parents who may not have learned this in the first place. So different parents who may not have lived this, and they're most welcomed in the parent seminar, like King David, who is welcomed to still be an ancestor of the Savior, that everybody hasn't lived this in the first place. So to help parents understand what the Catholic Church teachings are and how to relay them to their children, whether or not they learned them in the past, is the power of that parent seminar that is done on video, or I can come out and do it live for your parish. And then that's followed with four different parent-child seminars that are age-appropriate and gender-specific, so fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. So check that out at loveed.com or go to my website, sexrespect.com, and contact me about coming out to present it at your parish. And then once you see it done, you can learn to do it yourself. Okay, we've got Sam from California wants to comment about Bishop Olmsted's speech that I just reiterated some special parts of. So, Sam, you're on the air now. We've got a couple of minutes, and we'd love to hear what you want to say.
Thank you, Colleen. Appreciate that. Yesterday, Doug Keck mentioned that EWTN TV is going to rebroadcast that Catholic breakfast at 2 o'clock Eastern time today. I'm anxious to watch that.
Oh, my goodness. So 2 o'clock Eastern time today, EWTN on TV or the radio?
Yes, and they're going to rebroadcast the Catholic prayer breakfast. And it was mentioned that that talk that Bishop Olmsted gave is just absolutely wonderful, like you were saying. So I just got to share that with you.
Oh, my goodness, Bill, that's great news. So not only can you just hear the quotes that I gave out of the Catholic News Agency story, but you can see it live and see all the people respond. Sam, thank you so much for calling in about that. So Doug Keck announced that on EWTN TV at 2 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time, we will see Bishop Olmsted's speech and the Catholic Prayer Breakfast rebroadcast. Awesome. Thanks so much for that call. I appreciate it.
Thank you for all you do, Colleen.
Okay. Thanks for listening and for calling in and helping us out. Now we'll have many more people inspired, so pass that on, and I'll see if I can link that before the time goes. We had one more caller here just a moment ago. Mayla from Alabama said she was concerned about couples not wanting to have children. And you're right. That is part of the evidence of this whole sexual revolution, the disassociation of the body with procreation. And when I spoke with Cardinal Zen, when I was doing trainings there in the Diocese of Hong Kong, when he was still the cardinal there, I asked him about the birth rates and their promotion then of population growth there in Hong Kong. And he said, oh, it isn't that they don't know about natural family planning. He says, the young couples are just selfish. Now, if you've read Cardinal Zen's book and you know that he has been what he's been through in his life and struggling in the underground church and fighting against communism and socialism, he tells it like it is. So he was just really clear. He's like, no, it's not that influence. It's just that they're selfish. So Mayla from Alabama, your call about your concern about couples not wanting to have children, you're right. They're looking at this world and not appreciating the beauty of the gift of marriage, the beauty of the Gift of Marriage Act, the beauty of the gift of our fertility. So that's why we need to go back and re-educate the both the parents and the children themselves. And again, that's one of the things that Love Ed does in a very simple way that trains kids from the beginning of them hearing about marriage and love and gender and sexuality. It trains them, you know, first the parents of the small children. How do you answer questions when a 7-year-old asks this question or a 5-year-old asks this question? So check that out at loveed.com with St. Benedict Press, or email me through my website, sexrespect.com. And Time's up already. He is risen. Alleluia. Happy Easter Saturday. Happy Divine Mercy Sunday. And we'll be back next week. God bless you.
Mass Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, AveMariaRadio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at AveMariaRadio.net.